This weekend retreat was given by Father Andrew Heaslip, December 4th to the 6th, 2015, on the topic of Receiving and Offering the Mercy of God, a retreat for catechists. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
Well, again, I want to welcome everyone this evening for our catechist retreat. I know this is a sacrifice of time when everyone has very busy schedules, and yet every sacrifice never goes unnoticed by the Lord. He always fills us so much, even when we open a little bit of time for Him, let alone when we open a whole weekend for Him. So I trust and know and pray that the mercy of God will be filling your hearts over this weekend, so that in turn, you'll be able to share that mercy with others. It's all from Him, though. It's all a gift of Christ. No one of us can produce it. It has to be descending from above. That's really the first part of mercy that I'd like to look at briefly. And that is that it is and will always be a gift. No one deserves mercy. In fact, the very meaning of mercy is that it's given precisely because it's not deserved. And yet it's so deeply needed. And that's why we have this time, this weekend, is to discover again this great gift of God, this great gift of mercy. As you probably saw when you signed up for the retreat, that'll be the theme for this weekend. That is, preparing for the year of mercy. On the one hand, receiving, and then on the other hand, giving the mercy of God. But in order for us to have a fruitful time this weekend, to be able to receive that mercy, and then in turn to be able to go forth and to share it, we first need silence. We first need to quiet our hearts so that Jesus can speak to them. Pope Francis, in his Bull of Indiction for the Year of Mercy, that's the letter that introduced this special year, he said, "In order to be capable of mercy, we must first of all dispose ourselves to listen to the Word of God. This means rediscovering the value of silence in order to meditate on the Word that comes to us. In this way, it will be possible to contemplate God's mercy and to adopt it as our lifestyle." What our Holy Father is saying here is that we need silence to be able to really hear Jesus. And when we hear Jesus, we hear His mercy, because He is mercy incarnate. But we'd never know that until we have some time with Him, until we have silence. In this first conference, then, I'd like to reflect upon the journey toward true prayerful silence, the journey inside of our hearts, because it's there where Jesus desires so badly to meet us with His mercy. And so to begin, to help us out, I'd like to look at what Jesus has already told us or taught us about prayer. Here's some things that we find from Matthew's Gospel. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The terms I'd like to focus in on, which can guide us to understand the journey into interior silence and prayer, that journey into our heart, are really three terms. First, street corner, and then Babel, and then inner room. The reason I want to focus on street corner is because the one praying in this passage from Jesus is consumed with things on the outside, with exterior things, the things out there, and not the things in here. Babel, because even when we do have some measure of exterior quiet, when we get out of the street corner, we usually have a whole series of thoughts and distractions and babble in our minds that keep us from interior silence, which we need to be able to go to that last term I'd like to look at, that is our inner room, which is really the secret recesses of our heart, where we're alone with God, who sees us and who wishes to give us mercy in that place deep within, that is our heart. So then let's start looking at each of these. First, street corner. Jesus said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them." Now, the word hypocrite literally means stage actor, that is, someone who's concerned only about exterior appearances. The only thing that matters is what's out there, irrespective of what's going on in the heart. Another problem with the person's prayer in this parable is that he's on the street corner where there's a lot of noise and a lot of distraction, where he can see all these different things, entertaining things, to be able to take his attention, meaning he has no silence. Everything's going on around him. The idea is that this person is absorbed in exterior things and has no exterior quiet because of all the chitter-chatter, because of all the distractions. He can't have silence. The big temptation for us at any time is to do just that, is to distract ourselves with any number of things. On this retreat, then, I'd like to invite everyone to be able to walk away from the street corner, to begin to go inside, that's to say, inside your own soul, inside your own heart. And to do that, we need exterior silence. One of the temptations that we all have is we all have different electronics. We all have phones and gizmos that every 5 seconds we like pulling out and checking and seeing what's going on. And it's a distraction to see that. It's a distraction. And so I just encourage everyone to say, this weekend, I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to enter into that silence so that He can work on my heart, so that He can work in me. But that's really just the first step of prayer, or the first step of entering into our hearts. The second step is sometimes a little more challenging. The first step, we just have to do it, move away. But the second step is being able to quiet down all the chatter that we've heard on the outside and now has impressed itself upon us. This is where I'd like to focus on the term Babel. In kind of a backdoor way, the Lord addresses this when He says, in praying, do not babble like the pagans. After moving away from exterior things and trying to move to our interior room, one of the things that typically happens is that all the chatter we heard on the outside appears now on the inside. It's as if it left an imprint, and it stays with us. So we begin to think about past conversations, or begin to think about things we've heard on the news. We begin to think about all the different noises and the things that we have to deal with, perhaps when we go back home. What I'd like to invite everyone to is to move away from these distractions, is to move away from this interior babble that happens in our mind, because that babble prevents us from entering into prayer. It prevents us from going into our heart. But how do we move beyond it? Well, if we're just meditating, or if we're doing verbal prayer, it's just a matter of refocusing. So we start going off again. Refocus. In that refocusing, we begin to quiet our mind. But it's a little more challenging with silent prayer. In silent prayer, one of the things that happens is all that chatter goes on, and we don't know what to do with it. We want to be quiet, but we can't be, because we're thinking about things. The way to overcome that is to begin to direct those thoughts to the Lord. So instead of just thinking to ourselves of whatever's going on, we say, Lord, this problem happened to me yesterday. Or, Lord, I'm very afraid about this particular thing. When we begin to express whatever's going on in our mind, not just to ourself, but to the Lord, then we've already begun to pray. And what happens when we do that is we eventually run out of words. We express ourselves until there's nothing else to say. And then there's silence. When we have that silence, we can begin to hear Jesus. We can begin to hear his voice. We can begin to hear what he's calling us to. And then when we have that silence, we enter into that final place, that inner room, that is to say, our heart. By the word heart, I mean the deepest part of ourself. I mean our deepest identity. I mean the deepest part of the human being. That's the heart. And that's where Jesus wants to go. That's where he wants to meet us. But to do that, we first need that exterior quiet. And then we need to work on or grow in that interior quiet. And then finally, we begin to do what Jesus said. He says, when you pray, go to your inner room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Jesus is affirming this point about inner room. We see an image that there's a door, so you have to get from the outside, from the street corners. You have to open the door and then begin to walk in and close the door, close the distractions. But he's also using an image of an inner room being a sign or a symbol or an image of a person. The most inner part, of course, being the heart. Jesus is saying, go into your heart, and your Father who sees you there will bless you there. Your Father who sees you there will take care of you there. When that happens, when we're able to reach this point of our heart, then we can begin to finally pray. Then we can begin to finally have God's mercy at work deep within. something that we all need to see is that for us to do any good at all, God needs to be a part of that. And while God will work in spite of us, and often does, unfortunately, He wants to work with us. He wants us to be active in His work. And for that to happen, He has to be in us. One of the things we get scared of is we get scared of what is in our heart, of what's in our inner room. Sometimes, just like if you go into an old cellar, you go deep within. It's dark. There's strange things that you might see, old cobwebs, some critters that look scary that might bite. Sometimes that happens when we go into a cellar. That happens when we go into our heart too. We begin to find sins. We begin to find a serious lack of faith. Sometimes when I look into my own heart, I ask, do I even have faith? Do I have any trust in God? But when I go there and I begin to see these things, it means God is already working. It means He's already shedding light upon our cellar. That's okay. In fact, that's more than okay. That's wonderful. Because it means we're beginning to see ourselves as we really are. And that's the first part of God's mercy, is truth. When we begin to see ourselves, even our sins, we also begin to see the face of Jesus look upon our sins with love. And then we get surprised and then we want to leave our heart because, one, sometimes we don't think it's real. Or two, we really don't want to give up the sin that we've hung on to. When we see that, what we do is we go back. We say, Lord, help me to go back there one more time. And we do the same steps. Find a quiet place. And then kind of work through whatever is on the surface and say, Lord, these things bother me. And, or Lord, I saw this television show and this is what happened. Or Lord, you know, I had this great problem with my relative or this great conversation that brings me joy. We express it to the Lord. And then we run out of words. And then we start to open that door again and go into our heart. Go into our inner room where Jesus is still there wanting to give us His mercy, wanting to give us His healing. When we begin to taste that, which I trust and pray that we all will in a deeper way in this weekend, when we begin to taste that mercy deep within, gratitude comes. Gratitude from our heart is different than just saying, Lord, I'm thankful for X, Y, and Z, or we give Thee thanks, Almighty God, for these and all the benefits which we've received. Those are good. But it's different when it comes from deep within. It's a surge of joy because we know that we've encountered the mercy of God. But to be able to encounter that mercy, we first need silence.